This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
We are back for a brand new season. The Score is here on Lisburn's 98 FM, Bangor FM, and available wherever you get your podcasts from. And my name is Michael Clark. It's great to be in your company once again as we get ready for a new league season. It all kicks off next Friday, but we're getting ready a week early. I've been at the league launch at Danske Bank's headquarters in Belfast, just beside City Hall, having a chat to players and managers to find out how they are feeling about the new season. Have they strengthened enough? Are there more signings to come? What about want-away players? What about pre-season friendly results? European exploits? Expectations? Pressure? It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
It really is great to be back again in the hot seat for the upcoming Danske Bank Premiership season, and I guess spirits so high from the league launch event the other night where we spoke to, well, almost everybody. Had to do a bit of ringing around afterwards to catch up with those who had slinked away. It was a long night. I was working very hard, I assure you, to bring you what we've decided to be, a two-parter. So this is part one of that gearing up for the Irish Premiership. We thought we can't wait to next week. We can't wait till the day of the first match. People want to hear now. People want to know all about what is going on. So on this week's show, we have six interviews that we're sharing with you. The other six coming next week. So you will have to be a little patient as you wait for those. But this is a focus on the Premiership. And the reason I draw emphasis to that is because this weekend the Charity Shield happens. We're not going in depth and previewing that. It's back after 5 years away. The last time it was played was 2017 when Linfield beat Coleraine 3-1 in the curtain raiser for the season. And previous to that, there was a 14-year gap before it returned in 2014. So it's had a couple of false dawns and breaks. It's a welcome back to the Charity Shield, but the one thing we can say is the big question as to whether Linfield are going to put a strong team out because of the fact that they've European action. But with this being brought to you, I guess, ahead of time, we're not going into the European story as of yet. We will do in the coming weeks look a bit further because you'll know how the Thursday game's gone at the point of recording this. I'm doing this slightly ahead of kickoff of that match. But what we're saying is Linfield have every chance of at least making the Europa Conference League group stage, potentially, of advancing in the Europa League, and that's their first priority. So all the talk about Europe and where the clubs have been, that will come in coming weeks. Don't think we're glossing over it or ignoring it, but with the opportunity to sit down and talk to 12 clubs about the Premiership, that is what this special is all about. So just so you have full context, so you don't think something is being overlooked or underplayed or anything else, full disclosure here. A two-parter all about the league we know and love, hearing from some of the characters from it. And there's lots of characters in this league. So on this week's programme, who have we got for you? Well, we're going to be hearing shortly from James Knowles of Dungannon Swifts. We have the assistant manager of Linfield, Ross Oliver. From Ballymena United, we have their captain, Josh Kelly. We have Glentoran manager, Mick McDermott. And we also have the gaffer at Carrick Rangers, Stuart King. So they're all coming up. But first, the team that went all the way to the last day, pushed Linfield right down to the wire, ultimately coming up just short. I sat beside the boss of this club at the league launch event and listened as you know, there was lots of great reflections and stories told from last season about what a magical campaign it was, with the attendances up, with the eyes on the league, with everyone being excited for what the Irish Premiership has to offer. And I couldn't help but feel a little sorry for Paddy McLaughlin, because of they fell just short. Yes, they got their silverware, but they did want to lift the title. So my first question to him simply was, listening to that, seeing the celebrations of Linfield, understanding how close Cliftonville got, is that all the incentive that they need to go ahead and to go further this time around?
The thought process going on it wasn't really one what goes on last year. It's more what could happen this year and what we're hoping to happen, you know. So we had a brilliant season. We've got our silverware with a League Cup. We've got our European experience and we've got our pass in the back. But I think the players, since the day they come back from pre-season, they've been focusing on, let's get back to work and let's try and go on better. You know, it's what happened last year. And like I say, we can't live off that. We've got to move on and got to keep developing. So the thought process when you see the trophy and you see everybody is, what do we do to win that? Get our hands on it rather than where do we go wrong? So, you know, that's the exciting part. It's what we can make happen next year. That's the exciting thing for the players and for the fans. And, you know, it's something we're looking forward to.
Football is such a funny business because everyone's so incredibly competitive, and you can have a wonderful season and still look back and see negatives, because it's human nature if you haven't got exactly what you've wanted from it. How hard was it for you just to put last season to bed? I know you got your silverware and congratulations, but I know you wanted that Gibson Cup.
Yeah, well, we done everything we could. You know, you can't fault the players and the staff for everything that they done. You know, everything that was possible, we tried it, and everything that we could possibly do, we done it. You know, so it was important that we do look back with a lot of brilliant positives, a lot of good. There is that, as you say, that element of where could we improve on, but like everybody will say that, every team in every league will say that. But it's important we do reflect on where can we improve, and that's something we've worked on hard over the close season. You know, we've brought a players in that I think can bring us up that extra level that's going to be required if we want to go one better than last year. And that was important. We did attract top quality players, and we've done that with the boys you've brought on. They've been excellent signings for us. I'm sure they'll prove their worth as the season goes on. And you know, it could be one of the most exciting and best seasons. Hopefully it is. The club involved seen in a long time, you know. So it's important we get our heads down now over the next few days now in the build up to the first game of the season. You know, it is a marathon, it's not a sprint. But the season doesn't start and doesn't end on Saturday, it only starts. It's important that we get ready now for a grueling schedule. There's not an extra cup competition this year, the Scottish League Cup thing. So there's even more games going to be brought to us as a part-time club. It's going to be a big ask, but it's one we're looking forward to, and like I say, it's going to be an exciting season for us.
We've already seen in Europe some of the new boys settling in really well, running Hale with a goal away in Slovakia, and the scenes after that I'm sure live long in the memory, especially for those travelling fans who, certainly from the videos I've seen, had a very good night out afterwards. And then the match in Solitude, which I've been trying to explain to people because I had the privilege of being there, a team that's lost 3-0 but been excellent and been such a credit to themselves, and I'm not just trying to be nice to you because you're in front of me. That to me showed a real sign of where this team is, not the result but the level of performance against the level of opposition. And if you can replicate that, it could be another exciting year.
Definitely. You know, they held their own really well against one of the probably the toughest draw we could have got was that Dak Strada crowd from Slovakia. It was the toughest draw we could have got, and we put on a brilliant shift in both legs, you know, and they should be proud of themselves, the players. The second leg, when we were the two goals that they scored, and the first two goals they scored, it was against a run of play almost, you know. So that was important, that we take the good out of that draw, that game. It was such a quality opposition, and we held our own, and we were as good as them for long phases and long spells and both legs, you know. So if we can put that on their Irish League campaign and a consistent business, you know, we're going to be a really strong force this year, and that's the target.
And a word on your opposition for Saturday, Coleraine. They've really strengthened, so it's a tasty encounter.
Ah, it is. We've had a few tussles over last season, you know, and you're looking at the Coleraine last year, the Coleraine this year, and you know, it's almost a completely different side. You know, they've made a significant number of changes and really good quality players they've brought in, you know. And you can see that that Orange definitely seen the service that they've got and probably tweaking his style of play maybe in a way that he's attracted a lot of technically good players, you know. So Corrine's going to be really good this year. They're going to be good football inside, and it's going to be a tough opening game for us, you know. But you know, we're the same. We've technically got a strong bunch of players and we play in the same kind of service, you know. So it's set up for a cracking game. Hopefully we can go up there and do the business and come away with 3 points. It's going to be a big ask, surely. First game of the season, sure, showgrounds will be packed and there will be high expectation now with all the transfers that they brought on. But, you know, that's part of the excitement of the league. Every ground you go to is going to be difficult and you've got to be at your maximum to come away with 3 points. And there's no doubt that's what we're going to have to do.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Paddy McLaughlin, as you might expect, keeping his feet on the ground, not getting carried away with how good the club looked last season, wants to make sure that they are in a position where, come the end of this campaign, they are right in the mix once again. And, you know, when you look through the matches that they have, Corrine, Carrick, Ballymena to start off, that game at the Showgrounds next Saturday, it's a tasty one, I think. Talking about playing on similar surface, certainly playing against a very good calibre of opposition who have strengthened heavily. So a chance for Corrine to lay down a marker, and Cliftonville will be very aware of that as well. And I would imagine that that lends itself to being potentially the standout fixture of next weekend. I know it's not the live stream game, which is Friday night, and we'll talk more about that in due course. But the match at the Showgrounds could well be quite a show. And one player we didn't talk about in that who has stood out for me from what I've seen of him as well is Finn Talley, who is the goalkeeper that has come in on loan from Brighton. He is another young lad with his whole career in front of him. Very good goalkeeper, very mature performances from him in the European games, in that he wasn't rushing into things, which you could do when the momentum of a game and the noise of the crowd, etc., might just make you get a bit carried away. You'd be disappointed with conceding the penalty, but there's a lot of positives there, and I think you can see how Cliftonville have landed themselves another very talented young player. The previous person between the posts for them, Luke McNicholas, was going to be difficult to choose to fill. He's just signed a contract extension with Sligo Rovers and has been a part of their European story, heroics against Motherwell. So I'm sure a few Cliftonville fans will be taking a look at the bit of red, if you like, down the road, and a few connections with that club now, with him being there and a former favourite son of theirs, Jared Little, having managed them previously too. And I just want to say good luck to Jared and his young players ahead of the Nordic Cup experience that lies in front of their under-17s. Always exciting to get away and play international football, and I'm sure that is no different there. They're looking forward to it. Now let's move on to our next guest, shall we? And someone actually that used to play for Cliftonville as well. More recently, though, he was at Ballymena before last season, making the move to Dungannon Swifts. The midfield maestro, James Knowles, now on the programme. And the first question to James, how's pre-season going?
Yeah, it's been good. Just carrying on from last year, really. Obviously playing under Dean. Just trying to get used to her shape and the way of playing, especially for the new boys coming in. Brendan Barr has come in. Michael Ruddy, who's just been a new face as well. It's more for the new boys, getting used to Dean's way of playing. And for the younger lads, just trying to continue from last year.
So with the new faces coming in, you're hoping a wee bit of extra strength and depth. What's a realistic target for the season ahead, would you say?
In our eyes from last year, I thought we'd done pretty well, finishing ninth place with a very young squad. So I said it a few times already, I think we only took 3 points from the top 7 or 8 teams last year. So with a very difficult start to the season. So I think we need to, you know, attempt to take points from them bigger sides. at least compete a lot better. But as I stated before, there with a very young squad, and I think it's only going to benefit us, you know, with them younger lads, you know, getting more experience and a wee bit more know-how. So I think our target will be to obviously get points on the board as soon as possible.
How have you found your time at the club? Your feet are under the table a little while now, so hopefully you're nice and settled. But what's life at the Swifts like been like for you?
It's been brilliant. I've loved working under Dean. I think it's very obvious the way he likes to play football, and I think it really suits my style of play. So for me personally, I've loved it. I've got so many touches on the ball every game. We usually have a lot of possession. And I think this year it's going to be more a thing of can we progress, you know, performances into getting points and wins. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. But yeah, last year for me, it was about, you know, getting appearances, getting minutes back in the legs and, you know, getting the love for the game back. So hopefully that continues this year and we do slightly better than last.
On a personal level, it must mean a lot to be able to play again and to have that sort of regularity back. This couple of seasons before with Ballymena United, your action, your time on the pitch was limited, and you know, you look at last season, over 30 appearances in the league alone. You know, that must be such a big boost for you.
Yeah, massively. I know, you know, a lot of people come out and say that, you know, I'm injury prone, but I've had a few bad injuries, obviously both my knees. I think a stat came out there last year that I've had, you know, over 250 appearances in the Irish League alone. You know, so last year proved that I was fit and I had over 30 appearances in the league. And I just want that to continue and hopefully get to 300 as quickly as I can.
It's brilliant to have that target there. Just because Dean is a newer coach and, you know, people have seen what he's about in terms of his philosophy, he's unwavering really in wanting the team to play that brand of football we've become accustomed to. But what's he like as a manager, you know, sort of behind closed doors? How good is he with the players? And it sounds like he's been great with you.
Yeah, I have to say he's definitely one of the best in the league, definitely one of the best coaches in the league. I wish I worked under him maybe sooner, because I have to say he's made me a better player only being under him within the first year. His style of play is obviously brilliant. I think everyone knows that he's very loud on the sideline, but saying that, it comes from the training ground, so whenever he does speak from the side, players understand, you know, what he's saying or what he's trying to get across, because it comes directly from the training ground. So I wouldn't say that it's said for the sake of doing it. He knows what he's getting across to his players and it's taken on board. But yeah, I have to say he's been fantastic.
There was a couple of games I saw, James, and I thought you've got a bit of a swagger back. The game against Glentoran at Stangmore, which, you know, probably for any neutral wasn't the most enthralling game of football, but you could see some of the touches, you could see some of the confidence coming back, and you know, sometimes, you know, we can forget just how much about feeling good about yourself on the pitch is half the battle.
It is, yeah. Obviously, with being that year out at Ballymena and getting limited playing time, it's took those few games and a few good performances to try and get that back. You know what it's like. Confidence is a massive thing in football. And yeah, I'm hoping we're going to see a lot more of that this year. I've learned from my first year under Dean, you know, he takes the blame if you do lose the ball in certain areas and things. So yeah, I've got used to that. I've got used to trying things and a wee bit more freedom there. I would expect to, you know, light the place up a wee bit more. I believe I should do. I believe I'm one of the best midfielders in the league, to be honest. And I hope that can be seen this year.
I love that confidence. It's really, really good to hear. And just looking at You know, the teammates, it's such a young squad, really. You're unfortunately now one of the older statesmen in the group. Have you come to terms with that?
I know, it's hard to believe. I've only just turned 29 and I'm one of the senior boys, but yeah. I've said it before. Dean believes in the younger boys because they are good enough. You know, there's young Ethan there at right back. There's Dara McBreen, who's unbelievable. He lit the league up there last year before he was unfortunate to have a groin injury. Reese Campbell, and they're playing with no fear, you know. Terry Devlin as well. I think he's maybe only 18 or 19 playing alongside him. You could see at times we're maybe a wee bit inexperienced, but they're top players, and I believe they're going to grow from last year with that experience, and we're only going to benefit from it.
And they've seen with, you know, Oisín Smith getting the move that he got, that you can be at Dungannon Swifts and, you know, have eyes on you. Long gone are the days of that sort of feeling of there's only a couple of clubs you can play for in Northern Ireland and be taken seriously.
Yeah, 100%. Oisín was obviously a top player. I admired him when I was playing against him, and then even more so when I was playing with him. I thought it was only going to be a matter of time before he was across the water. It was obviously a massive hit for us in January to lose him, because we were constantly fighting for points throughout the year. For any team to lose one of their best players, it's going to be a massive hit. But hopefully he goes to bigger and better things and starts getting into Oxford's first team squad and playing. I think he will. I think he has everything.
The Score with Michael Clark.
James Knowles backing himself and backing his teammates as well. Last season, they finished 1 point better off than Carrick Rangers and quite a bit behind Ballymena United and Glenavon. Those little battles between those two groups of teams, if you want to view it that way. Fascinating as each ended up a point different. Glenavon 54, Ballymena 53. Then we dropped down to Dungannon Swifts and Carrick Rangers, which was 35 and 34 respectively. And in the end, the Swifts 10 points clear of second bottom, Porta Down, and comfortably clear of Warren Point, who unfortunately aren't with us in the Premiership this campaign. They'll be hoping to bounce back. Championship, as we always say, very challenging league. So we will watch on with interest, and throughout the course of the season, we will dip into the Championship and the Premier Intermediate League, as we do, to speak to key figures and find out how things are going as the season develops. But just to remind you, it's all about the Premiership on this programme and the show next week. Now, at the league launch, David Healy wasn't able to be there. He was getting ready for their European exploits, but he did send a few people along representing Linfield. Jimmy Callagher isn't a big fan of doing radio interviews, but he was kind enough to say that he listens to this programme and it gets him through his day. So, Jimmy, if you're listening to this week's show, thank you very much. Aren't you glad that I don't drag you on the radio unwillingly? He does all his talking on the pitch, which, you know, when you play as well as Jimmy can, you can get away with not being a big fan of interviews. But luckily, Linfield weren't going to let us down. Stepping up to the plate to bat was their assistant boss, Ross Oliver. And Ross began by talking about four in a row with a clear ambition of making it five.
The last 4 years have been enjoyable, obviously, because you're winning the leagues. But again, of course, the club that we're at, it's all about success, and the players that we have in the change rooms are all about winning, and hopefully we can continue that this season.
The challenge year on year, certainly from the outside looking in, seems to be increasingly difficult. Cliftonville pushed you all the way to the final day, and I was at the Oval watching their fortunes and saw that. I mean, they were clawing to the last second. From your perspective, it must make it all the more rewarding to get over the line, knowing that it wasn't a canter, people were fighting for it, and you had to earn it.
Yeah, well, think again, over the years, there's a couple of times when we have won the league, we've maybe done it with a few games of Spurs. So I wouldn't say it would make it more enjoyable or more, you know, it makes it more nervous. And again, sometimes I actually just had a conversation there with Stephen. I was just talking about, you know, relief sometimes is probably the word you would use. But again, that's a credit to Cliftonville and Paddy, and a credit to all the other clubs as well, because they push you all the way. And there's no free games in the league now at all. The standard is that high, and everyone's pushing for, obviously, playoff places now, the European money in the playoffs, and first and second, you know, gets you into the European places as well. So, yeah, so the standard is, it's massively higher now, yeah, and it keeps improving year on year on.
And one of the big changes that we're going to see this season is Linfield from never on a Sunday to quite often on a Sunday, three Sundays in a row to start. Might take some getting used to for some fans, and I respect that. Everyone has their own opinions on it. But for you, I guess, you'll happily accept any changes as long as it means it's because you're doing well in other competitions.
100%, yeah. Again, it's key for us. It's more so it's key for the players that we can prepare properly for the league as well, because again, as much as the European games are good, your bread and butter is always your league. So it gives us that extra day's grace to prepare for the up and coming league games.
I don't want to get too far ahead of things and predict where you might be, but if all goes well in your European journey, you want to be the first Irish league team in a group stage. Just how massive do you think it would be, not just for the club but actually for the league as a whole, to show that other clubs potentially that, you know, this can be done rather than the old pipe dream?
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly what you say. I think it shows then if we can be fortunate enough to be able to do it, then it shows that it can be done, and it gives everyone else that incentive that, you know, they'll want to be the next team to do it, whether it's us or, you know, Cliftonville, Glentoran, Lorne, whoever it may be. That'll give them the incentive then to see what we're doing. And I think again for the players, it'll be brilliant for the players preparing every week for, you know, a European game and then the league games as well. So yeah, it'll be massive for the league, massive for the league as a whole.
And how much a part of the league actually played in that, and understanding, because you were due to have a Tuesday game and that's been called off. I know some people were a bit perturbed about the Charity Shield going ahead on a Saturday and things, but have the league been understanding of the needs of your team and your players and all the challenges that you face with more games?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, it's probably not something that I'm involved in as much at the club, but I do know that, again, for the Sunday games, I know that there was a conversation had with Niffl and then a conversation had with the other clubs, and there was no issues whatsoever. So again, they're supporting us that way and helping us, because I remember a few years ago, I think it was, we played Coleraine, I think, and we'd actually got to the playoffs of the Europa, and that was quite challenging because we had the league games in between. So I think everyone has learned from that. So I think this time they've all been more understanding.
And looking at the business the club has done so far in relation to transfers, a lot of firepower brought in, Chris McKee returning to the club on a permanent move, Robbie McDade, Vertainen, players like that. So lots of options in terms of goals. Will you be looking to strengthen any other areas, do you think, before the window closes?
Always looking to strengthen, always. Again, that'll just we'll just wait and see how the European games go, how we start off. But at a club like ours, we're always looking to strengthen, we're always looking to bring in and improve in all areas.
And in terms of because I know what your opinion is in it, you just love and relish the challenge of it, otherwise you couldn't be at Linfield. But have you had any sort of summer? I mean, genuinely, paint us a picture, because people will go, oh, those full-time footballers, what could they be up to, really? What has your summer been like? Because, I mean, the season finished, there were celebrations, and then there was Europe almost right away. What are we talking about, like a day off? Is that the head of your summer?
Well, the staff, I know the staff have probably had about a day off, you know, because, again, we probably had that weekend to celebrate, and then you're bang into it again, you know, you're talking to players, you're looking at different aspects of the club, what can be improved, what we can work on. And again, obviously, the recruitment side of it is massive as well. So you've got Willie McKeown now as well, who does a tremendous job, who the gaffer, myself and the team committee would work with to try and bring players in. So you don't really get that much time. I think this is the most that the players have had off. I think they had maybe 2 weeks off this time, and whereas before they didn't even get that. You know, it was a few days, obviously because of the COVID the previous times. But yeah, then you're straight into it again. You're preparing. It comes around in no time. Like
you see, we think it goes quickly, and then there's the rest of you that don't even stop. So hats off, Ross. Thanks for talking to me. Thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
So that's how things are shaping up for the Blues. Now let's hear from the Sky Blues and their skipper, Josh Kelly. First question for Josh, all about that armband and what it means to him to be the captain of Ballymena United.
It was a massive honour to get be named captain after Leroy left, and a huge privilege to, you know, be entrusted with that by David and the staff. A huge honour, obviously, for to be captain of Ballymena.
You look to this season, you look at some of the players that have come in. Jake Corbett, people are going to want to see more of him and what he can produce. Certainly comes with a good reputation, the young man. But then like Jordan Gibson, Davey McDade, George Tipton, Evan Tweed, and Sean O'Neill on a permanent. The manager's been busy.
Yeah, no, I think you know, it's always good to get new faces and fresh faces into the club. You know, Jake obviously had a bit of a bad injury there last season, I think, with his knee and stuff, and he's just working his way back into, you know, regular football in pre-season here. So hopefully he can hit the ground running just as well as the other boys. You know, obviously Sean O'Neill was in from January last year on loan and made a great impact for the 6 months he was there, and I'm sure everyone's delighted that he's signed permanently. And then other boys, Evan, Big Yaya, Jordan Gibson, you know, great additions to the club, and I'm sure they'll be buzzing to go for the start of the season here.
Well, you've indirectly answered a question that I had in the back of my head. It's not just Jordan Gibson that's arrived, it's his nickname, it's followed him.
yeah, that's right. I'm telling you, I don't really know where it comes from, Michael. You'd probably need to ask him, but we just call him Yaya because everyone at Carrick called him Yaya. So
it was in part of the contract, was it? He said, no, you have to do this. I really like it when everyone refers to me as Yaya. No, fair enough. Looking at the pre-season, how have you found it? How have the games gone for anyone that hasn't been keeping a close eye on all things Sky Blues?
Yeah, the games have been really good. You know, Davey sort of split the pre-season this year, so we'd have two games every week, so that, you know, you're not playing 45 minutes with one team and then making 10 or 11 subs to play 45 minutes for the next team. So everyone's basically got, you know, either 90 minutes or 75 minutes most Saturdays and the odd Tuesday. So I think the idea behind that is obviously you can get as many 90 minutes in the all the players as you can. So it's been good. You know, there'd be no excuses for not being match ready come the 13th.
What was in the back of my head with David, obviously, and congratulations to him retiring from the day job, and we can forget that there are day jobs in the Irish League still. You know, I know some teams are full time, but managers and players do also have other lines of work after many years of service. Now he can dedicate all his time to football, and it just made me think, you poor players. I bet you there's an extra day's worth of running to be done now.
Yeah. No, obviously, I think David's messaged a few times about now that he's, you know, at home all day, and he's obviously fully committed to, well, he was always fully committed to Ballymena, but he's probably just more time to think about Ballymena now. I think he's mentioned that a few times. So, no, you can see through pre-season, you know, everything's been set out really meticulously and stuff, and who knows, I'm sure it would have been that way even if he did have the job anyway, but you can see he's definitely thinking about it more probably now.
Well, it's, look, I think it's only to the advantage of the club, isn't it, to have him with more free time. And look, that's the thing. I always say people judge you on a Saturday, and that's the way it'll always be. But at the end of the day, you know, people have a lot going on, and you know that yourself, trying to juggle the work-life balance and, as much as the rest of us. So the fact that Amanda has experienced a bit more time with you guys now, or even away from that, but to plan things, surely it's only good news for Ballymena United.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, you know, I'm sure even during the day job, David would have been well prepared for training sessions and match days, but just now gives him more time to obviously think about things and maybe contact the other staff and see their ideas and things and stuff. So yeah, no, I mean, I'm not sure it'll change too much, like, in his methods or anything, but it's always good to have more free time in your hands, I suppose.
Looking at the season, it's hard to sort of look at the new season without thinking back to the Irish Cup final, isn't it? Does the pain kind of carry on a wee bit, or how do you put that to bed? Because it's, you know, I've spoken to Philip Lowry on the other side of the coin, and obviously they were just so relieved that it worked out in their favour, but it was such a cruel way to lose it.
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to bring that up, to be honest, Michael. But
sorry.
No, don't worry. I mean, said a few times that it's, I don't know how long it'll take to get over it. You know, as players and as a club, we've, David's addressed it a few times, because it's still very raw, I think, just the way we lost it and stuff like that. Just such a cruel way, as you said, to lose it. But I mean, we've sort of used it as a reference point just to, you know, try and take the hunger and the and bottle the feeling, sort of thing, after the cup final, and, you know, bottle how we felt, and use it for fuel going into the next year, and hopefully we can go one step further at some stage this season in a cup final, and we can only be better for that experience, I suppose.
Firstly, game up Glenavon. Usually an interesting one between the two of you. You've got the home advantage for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's always obviously a big sort of battle in around the mid table, us and Glenavon, and it's always, you know what you're going to get. It's always going to be a tough game, physical, direct team. So I'm sure we'll be under no illusions come the 13th of what to expect, and hopefully we can kick the ground running and get 3 points.
And for this season, what would you say is the realistic target that you're all gunning for? Because you've had that, you know, silverware just at your fingertips. Is it trying to get a bit of silverware? Is it trying to finish higher up the table? You know, if I had a magic lamp and could grant you one wish, I was a stingy genie, which one would you sort of go for?
I think European qualifications, our aim, basically. David's banged on about the top six and how we need to get into it to give ourselves obviously the chance, either automatically or through the playoff process, to get into Europe. And it's obviously no real secret that getting into Europe gives you a financial boost, and that's only going to progress the club forward. And you know, if whatever route we can take into Europe, that's the one we want to try and get, whether it be through the league or through the Irish Cup. That's why obviously the Irish Cup was such a disappointment last year, because not only is it silverware, but it's you know, getting into Europe and the financial rewards that come with that, and you know, that can only progress the club forward. So I think obviously the league's the bread and butter, so we'll be trying to go crack Europe through that way. But I mean, obviously a good cup run, we'll be giving our best, and all the cups as well. But yeah, I would say our main aim's top six.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Top six, the stated ambition for Ballymena United. It is going to be very, very competitive, fighting for that place in the league. And you look at it, let's remind ourselves, the top six from last year in order: Linfield, Cliftonville, Glentoran, Crusaders, Larne and Corrien. Any team that gets into that conversation has done very, very well for themselves. But that is where Ballymena United want to be. And who can fault them? the Irish Cup memories. Sorry for bringing that up, Ballymena United fans, but an important part in your journey, and maybe a little clue in there when I was talking about someone else I've been speaking to about who will be representing Crusaders on next week's programme, if you were paying attention. Now, from a team that are fighting for their place to try and get into the top half, to a team who will be really looking back disappointed that they ended up in third, and that's Glentoran. They want to be league winners. They have not been shy in stating their ambitions, but they haven't been able to match their ambitions with the results. And looking at the league table, there's still some work to do. But with that being said, how much are they raring to go and put things right this season? That's the first question I put to their manager, Mick McDermott.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's been, you know, 7 or 8 weeks of pre-season. The players had a month off after the final games, and training has went in a positive way. We've played friendlies, we've brought in some new players, you know, the usual of pre-season. I think we've strengthened well in certain areas, considering the players that have left us. I think the squad is stronger than we were last year, and we're no different from any other team. This time of year is full of hope and, you know, potential. So we're looking forward to getting started against Larne on BBC on Friday night. Couldn't ask for a better way to start the league. I think it'll be brilliant for the league and for both teams and for the fans at the stadium, which will be packed, and the fans at home watching on TV.
And I know you won't thank me for bringing this up, but given how the last encounter went with them, is that the team talk written for itself? They took Europe away from us, so let's go and pay one back.
Well, it's moments like that you don't forget. It's usually those painful moments in your career or life or on the football pitch that you remember that are hard to get over, and no doubt that night was hard to take, considering the game was in the palm of our hand with, I think, 16 minutes to go. So yeah, I'm sure our players haven't forgotten it. I know I certainly haven't. It took a while to get over that. On the night, I thought we'd prepared really well. I thought we got everything right in terms of our lineup and the way we went about the game. And as we all know, you know, a couple of moments of madness can change a game. And you know, Larne did what they did. They got through and they got into Europe, and we didn't. So yeah, painful, no doubt about it. But we have to use that as a force to drive us on, not just for that game, but for the rest of the season.
And we've seen some personnel change, and you've alluded to it this summer. Do you foresee much more business to be done before the window closes?
I don't think much more business, but as I always say, you can never say you're done, because we're Glentoran and we have quality players, and we also have a larger squad than some other teams in the league. Teams call us about our players, so we never know if a player's going to move on, either a loan deal or a transfer. So we have to keep our options open and our targets open in case we need to fifth. But look, we're not actively searching for players. We're content with what we've got. But as I always say, if a player comes along who can strengthen us, we have to be in the market.
And in terms of one player who has played well and got a lot of acclaim with the fans, but has been out of recent consideration, Caelan Marin, is there a way back into your plans for him, or where are things with Caelan Marin? There's been a lot of speculation, as I'm sure you've read.
Yeah, Caelan requested to move on from the club, and we've agreed with his agent and himself that we'll help accommodate that, and if a suitable offer comes along, we'll work. We're a football business, and if a suitable offer comes along, we will consider it. There has been some potential offers that didn't come to be finalised, but things usually heat up in the last weeks of the window. But unlikely that Caelan Marin will return to Glentoran in terms of, like I said, his desire is to move on, and we'll help accommodate that.
Understood. With the panel, you say it's a stronger group. You've alluded to the disappointment that there was last season. I mean, that is natural. How important is it that as a manager you make sure that it's also forgotten about?
Yeah, I think you don't forget, but I think you have to move on. And, you know, it's important to remember those aspects of what didn't work or what hurt you in the past, because you learn from that. And I think we have learned, but you can never stop learning. And even through pre-season, we've seen things that we need to know. We know we need to work on for the start of the season. We know we need to develop over the course of the season. But one of the key components in our recruitment this year was to bring in good men, good pros, disciplined pros. So, and I think we've done that. You know, we've brought in Aidan Wilson, Ali Roy, James Singleton. All good men, good pros, good players. And then we've brought in some young lads who are for the future, you know, Kirk McLaughlin from Coleraine recently, Josh Stewart was in our own academy, Harry Murphy, you know, so we've strengthened in terms of in the short term, but as well as for the future. And I think our starting 11 / our 18 match day squad is stronger than last year.
And I just want to finish by asking about some of the players that have been getting international recognition. Aaron Whiteman has been a real standout, a really, really impressive player, and you started him and played him for the majority of the last league game of the season. And Conor McMenamin, we've seen his exploits, but it's the first time I've spoken to you since then. How, two men at different stages in their career, admittedly, but how pleased have you been with them? And in their own ways, how can they inspire other players that are around them to try and kick on in their journeys?
Yeah, Aaron Whiteman, we'll start with him. You know, Aaron was one of those young players who, you know, the old days of, you know, you have to get away by 16. And if you don't, you know, you're sort of holding your hands up. I'm sort of lost in this drive to get to England, or across the water, as they call it. Aaron was one of those that didn't. And he joined our BTEC program at Eichfield. So he was in full-time training. We then saw something in him, as we called him, Wee Aaron back then. And then we brought him into training with our first team because we saw something there, and he developed. He worked hard with our strength and conditioning people. He worked hard with his diet. He worked hard at his training with the first team, and he worked his way into being considered as a starting member. And he's now, we played Cliftonville last night in a behind closed doors friendly, and he played right back and he did tremendously well. So through pre-season he's been superb. We have had a couple of sniffs of English clubs interested in him, but nothing concrete. But he's only 18. So that just proves that you don't need to get away at 16, as some of our clubs now have sort of full-time academies, BTEC programs, full-time setups with the first team. You know, there is an opportunity to stay here for a year or two or three or four and go away when you're 18 or 19 or 20, as Kofi Balmer, 21. So that pathway is now here in Northern Ireland, which is good for the clubs here, because especially with Brexit coming in, the English and Scottish clubs are not filling their academies with French and Croatian and Spanish. They're filling them now with British, Irish players. But once they hit 18, they can bring in those foreigners. So if a kid like Aaron can get games in the Irish League, I think if Aaron plays 10, 15 games for Glentoran in the Irish League, I mean, his future could be really bright. I think a team in across the water would take a gamble on him. So he's been brilliant, but he's created that himself by through hard work. Conor McMenamin, a bit of a journeyman, you know, considering Glentoran, Limfield, Warren Point, Cliftonville, back to Glentoran. But the year he had, and then the performances he put in with the international team, show that he has the ability. I think the reason why we haven't had any concrete offers to this point is because probably of his age, and teams want, you know, he just appeared on the scene, probably let's evaluate him a little bit more. And I would imagine an offer to come in this late in the window is less likely, but not impossible, but less likely, as any team in England or Scotland would have wanted him for 6 weeks of pre-season. But it's not impossible, could still happen. With three BBC games on Friday nights, there's a window. But I think Conor's target must be to be in the September international window with Northern Ireland. If he gets called into the Northern Ireland squad, performs well in September, plays well for the first half of the season for Glentoran, then I would imagine it's realistic that an offer could come in the January window. So there's a guy who's waited until he's 26, 27 to get a potential move. So it shows the pathway in the Irish League is there. It shows our league is a strong league. I've always said that. I think the quality of the player wasn't justified by the quality of the play, in my opinion, when I would come home to visit 5, 6, 7 years ago, because I think the play was, whether it be facilities and surfaces, weren't great, but it was very one-dimensional, you know, very direct, very physical. I think in recent years you see teams play in a certain way. But, for example, we played Glasgow Rangers B team in a friendly, and it was a great match. There was some great football played, and I think we won 4-2 on the day. But afterwards, their director of football spoke to me after the game and said, look, this is exactly what we wanted. This is what our boys need. We play in the Highland League, and they're playing, they play great football, but they need this against men. And he said, for example, your first two crosses you put in the box are goals, because they don't deal with that on a weekly basis. So it shows even at that level, they're competing in their sort of reserve league, under 23 league. It's not producing the players that they want. But a place like the Irish League, if you're a Patrick Kelly and you're playing in the first team for Coleraine, if you're an Aaron Whiteman playing in the first team for Glentoran, if you're Kofi Balmer, two seasons in the first team, whether it be Larne or Ballymena, if you've done that in the Irish League, then you probably deserve a chance to get across, because you've proven it against men in a hard, physical, quality league that ours is.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Always a really fascinating conversation. It's hard when you sit down and chat with Mick McDermott. His insight into the players and where they might go and where they might be. Clear pride in the development of Aaron Whiteman, in the international recognition for Conor McMenamin, and even the move that Kofi Balmer is set to make to Crystal Palace, which has been widely reported in the last couple of days, which is great for the league. And it is really, really good when we see our players being afforded the opportunity to develop and move on. And the fact that the league is such a strong pathway for those players, and the guarantee, actually, which we can say with confidence and we can put our chests out and say, the guarantee that there are really, really high quality players playing in Northern Ireland in our top flight that you can come and see. And the way that the league has developed in the last couple of years has pushed very good players down into the Championship as well, and brought the level of that division up. And one of the things that was spoken about at the league launch is actually the coaching, the standard of coaching that's available too, and all the different opportunities that are available to young players as they find clubs in their community to make their way in their own little stories, whether that would be to reach the Irish Premiership, whether that would be to play somewhere else in the football pyramid in the country, or whether they might be one of the small percentage in real terms that'll be good enough to make it elsewhere. But it's such an exciting time, and you get that sense. We'll be watching to see what happens with the Killamarran thing. Hopefully, that's left you a bit more clued in. There's been a lot of people asking me, what's going on with Killamarran? I did an interview for an online piece. Somebody had asked me questions about some of the best young players in the league, and Killamarran's one that I think is more than capable of playing across the water. Whatever's gone on at Glentoran, he's on the transfer list. Will he move within the league? Will he get his move to England or elsewhere before the window shuts? It does appear, though, that a new destination for Killamarran will suit all parties. That's what I've gleaned from that. You can take from it what you will. One last interview to cram into this first half, our part one of a two-parter special on the Irish Premiership's return next weekend. And this man has had a busy summer. I guess all the managers have. It's Carrick Rangers boss Stuart King. Stuart, good to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Michael. How's things?
Very good. Look, before we get into business, have you had a nice summer?
Yeah, I've been away plenty. The boys give me a bit of stick. plenty of COVID holidays and stuff. So, yeah, recharge the batteries, family holidays and football holidays. And then we got time with the wife away in Vegas. So, yeah, great time away, and now time to get back at it.
Vegas, I'm very jealous about that, but what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, I'm told, so I'll leave that alone.
Correct.
Looking at the players you brought in, I mean, Carrick Rangers fans must be thinking they're playing like a football manager simulation here. Curtis Allen pulling on the colours of the Amber Army, something people maybe never thought would be possible to get a player of his calibre in. I'm sure you're very pleased.
Yeah, delighted with our business so far. It's not finished yet, hopefully, and the likes of Curtis, we targeted Curtis from January, and we needed a goal scorer. I think the club's missed a goal scorer for quite a long time, and it's something that I really wanted to do, and thankfully the board's helped me out, and we were able to entice Curtis to the club, you know, and that's a big thing for the club now, that we're able to entice these so-called better, bigger players and more experienced players to come to football club. And we've seen the difference that that was did for the team last year with the likes of Jim coming in, and as someone that actively targeted, they bring more experience in.
New goalkeeper in Ross Glendinning too. It's been a position that you've had a bit of bad fortune with, haven't you? Aaron Hogg's had injuries. You've had a few players playing in that position last year. You're hoping maybe a bit more continuity for this season.
Yeah, well, Hoggy's been unbelievable for the football club. Let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. But we haven't really had two really experienced goalkeepers going at the position. So again, that was something that we looked at and something that we wanted to do. We wanted more competition for Hoggy. And with Ross coming in, he's an experienced goalkeeper who's been there, done it, and played a lot of games, and he's come from a big club. And he's really professional. He's really professional. He's really dedicated. And it's the type of people that I want around my football club. And he'll bring a lot of competition to Arne. And Arne always has to up the game. And listen, it's a straight fight now. And it's great to have two really established goalkeepers now to fight for the position of our goalkeeper.
Was that the thing you felt was missing, experience? Because Andrew Mitchell brings it, and Cameron Stewart, despite being, you know, younger than the names mentioned, is a player with a lot of miles in the league.
Yeah, I think we've got quite a lot of young players at the club, and it's actually showed last year where I've had to play them, and I have no issue playing them. But I think when we broke off, we played Glenavon, and I looked at their team, and they had 11 senior players on the pitch, and they brought on three or four real senior players, and we got beat 1-0 by a wonder goal by Michael O'Connor. And I knew then that I needed more experience, and to be able to entice it, I don't think the club's been able to entice the players that we brought in this, you know, ever, and quite a long time, not in the time I've been involved in the Irish League. So it's testament to the board and the reputation we're getting as coaches and stuff too, that we're able to entice Alexander Mitchell to come from Lauren, and Curtis Allen, who's an established goal scorer and been there and done it, and they come to our football club and try to improve us and keep on trying to improve this, and that's my job. And listen, them players will bring a lot. They are young lads, and hopefully they'll develop them even quicker than what they have done last year. And it only looks good for Carrick and good for the football club.
The nature of football players leave as well. The likes of, you know, Dan Kelly and Gibson, not at the club for next season. I'm sure their presence will be missed by supporters who are both very popular.
Yeah, and I didn't want them to go. I'll be honest, unless I can say it publicly. Jordan made the decision that he wanted to go to Ballymena. I have no issue with that. He thought that was a better option for him. Dan has got quite a few businesses and stuff, and personal reasons he decided to retire. So there's not much I could have done about that. But yeah, they're two brilliant lads. They've done really well for me last year. And I can only thank them for that, you know what I mean? And they were part of the journey that I've been on as a Premier League manager. And they honestly give me everything, and I can't talk highly enough about both of them.
I think it's no secret, and maybe it's increasingly true when we look at, you know, the way fixtures fall. If you're in the top half, you go, well, maybe it can be kinder some weeks than others. If you're in the bottom half, it feels like every week's a hard week. You start with newly promoted Newry City, and off the back of that, you've Cliftonville and Corrien, so you'll know about it soon enough. I mean, there's no easy ones, and I know it's an old cliche, but it definitely is true.
Yeah, Newry, somebody I know, Newry and Darn are people that I know, a club that I know really well. It's from the area, and Darn has been done amazingly at a football club, and he's been really helpful to me, to be honest with you, when I started my coaching journey at Banbridge, and we're quite close, so it's quite a good game for us to start. No, we're at home, it's the main thing. Hopefully we can give a good account of ourselves and get some points on the board, but we know it's not going to be easy. And then, listen, then you've got games against the bigger clubs in the league, but on our day we're as good as anybody. I said that last year, and I'm going to say it again. I know if my lads give me everything, then we're more than competitive to take points off anybody. So, yeah, listen, that's what we're there for. We really look forward to it. It's going to be another exciting season. There'll be ups and downs. There'll be times where I'm pulling my hair out, and there'll be times where I'm really, really excitable and enjoyable. But that's football, and that's why we're involved in it.
Oh, we've all seen you be excitable.
I'm trying to calm myself down a wee bit now. I'm trying to learn. What you're saying in the last 5 minutes, but I'm trying my hardest.
I believe you. I believe you. And A for effort, no doubt, Stuart. I guess looking with the players you brought in, with the backing of the board that you've been talking about there, naturally football's never without pressure. It puts that pressure on. Is that something that motivates you, knowing that when you bring in, you know, when you strengthen, people are expecting you to kick on a bit then?
Listen, pressure's what I do 95. No, football's my out. I'm doing my best to try and drive this club forward and improve the pace as well. If I bring in better players, that's improving the club. If I can entice better players to come, it increases the profile of the football club, increases the play. Hopefully it brings in more sponsorship, brings more fans in to watch matches. And in turn, then I'll hopefully lead to better results. Pressure is what people make of it. You know, sometimes I try and hit it the best I can, but yeah, that's management, that's coaching. And all I can do is try to improve the players as a coach the best of my ability. I think I can improve even the highest quality players in this league. In fact, I know that, and it's not being big-headed. I think I'm a decent enough coach to be able to improve people. And that's my job, to try and improve my team, improve my club from top to bottom, and improve the profile of the club and try and raise the standards. And I'll be judged, no doubt, every week. People have opinions. But all I can say is that I'll give my all every single Saturday and every single week for my football club and for the players that are playing for me. And if they give me what I give them, we'll do okay.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Carrick boss Stuart King bringing a close to proceedings in our first part of our two-parter previewing the return of the Irish Premiership. It all gets underway next Friday, that's the 12th of August, Larne against Glentoran at Inverpark, 7:45, and also live on the BBC iPlayer. The Saturday games, just to recap, Ballymena United, Glenavon at the Showgrounds, Carrick Rangers, Newry City, as the newly promoted side go to the Lochview Leisure Arena. Coleraine take on Cliftonville at the Coleraine Showgrounds, and at Seaview it will be Crusaders versus Dungannon Swifts. Plus, on Sunday, get used to it, Linfield versus Portadown at Windsor Park. That game underway at 3 o'clock. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, for part two. Crusaders, Larne, Coleraine, Glenavon, Portadown and Newry will be our guests, and I hope you will be too. All that remains to be said is it's good to be back. Bye-bye.